Radio buzzing of life, 657 AM.
You are on 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We gave you Pastor Benjamin Dube featuring Tibello Sukwini, Grateful, and it's 27 minutes just after 1. I am now joined by Moruti Daniel Maloka. Moruti, how are you?
Hello, Sesibongi, and hello to family, Radio Pulpit family. It's so good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
It's been wonderful. I've had a wonderful week. All is well on my side.
Awesome. Now, Moruti, how sharp? Because you open a can of worms and then you just come, you open the tin and you leave it there. And we're like, now, we're talking frozen marriages. We're back again at it again. Just to allow Moruti to just go back, just a quick one for somebody who was not with us last week.
Okay. So we've been talking about frozen marriages, right? So that is the topic of our discussion.
Uh-huh.
And it's been fascinating to actually explore this topic. And, you know, somebody could ask, what do we mean when we say frozen marriages, you know, and by that, what we mean is marriages that have gone stagnant, they're not growing, they're cold. It's really marriages that have no feeling and no affection. And we said it's when couples tolerate each other. It's that place where they now tolerate each other, and there's immobility. There's no movement, there's no growth, no development. Like any other institution, Sesibongi and family, marriages should be growing and developing and maturing. I think the best term there is the maturing of a relationship, you know. So when a marriage is frozen, the people are tolerating each other. They are no longer kind of like embracing love for each other and affection for each other. It's almost like affection has died, you know. And I said this last week as well. It is a relationship that is stuck in memory. So that it's what we often say in happier times, you know. So it's a marriage, really, a relationship that is stuck in memories of back then. You know, back then we used to be happy. We used to understand each other. Back then, you know, I used to like you. Now I don't, you know. So, and somebody last week said something very interesting, that it's a relationship that is waiting for solutions. and the solution could be anything like death or, you know, anything strange like that. You know, it's a marriage that feels like a prison sentence where you are just doing time.
Yeah. And then, Moruti, you touched on 2 points quickly.
Then we spoke about, most importantly, the issue of criticism being one of the reasons why relationships freeze. That's where we were, right? So criticism and defensiveness, we touched on those issues like being defensive, contempt as well, being contemptuous, disrespectful to each other. So those are the reasons why relationships freeze. You know, and stonewalling, you know, we spoke about stonewalling again. And then we really delved into the issue of unforgiveness, right? And unresolved conflict. And that was the second point.
Yeah.
So it's issues that were unattended. In other words, we are not really paying attention anymore. And we are kind of saying, what's the point? I'm not going to raise it. Let's just live. And I will go to my corner, you go to your corner. So those are the 2 points from last week.
And then, so we are going to the third point today.
Going to the third point today, and that should be very interesting. I just want to once again say something from last week that really stuck to me, where one of our family members said, Unforgiveness is a deep freezer, you know, and that
that was Obu James Ferdinand Van Zyl.
Oh yes, no, that really stuck to me as well, you know. So the third point, Sibongi, of reasons why relationships freeze is the issue of desensitization. And what we mean by that is familiarity, or in essence, over familiarity. You know, losing the awe for each other. One of the things that keeps a marriage alive and hot, you know, is the issue of awe, A-W-E, to be in awe. You know, as Christians, we look at God as the object of our affection. And that kind of way of looking at God is how we should be looking at our partners as well, as objects of our affection.
Sure.
You know, once you lose the awe for your partner, it really freezes the relationship, and it's like blood that's no longer circulating. So we need to constantly work on the issue of awe, like admiration. That's the other term.
Yeah.
You know, admiring each other and saying, look, I admire how this person does things, and working against that desensitization and over familiarity. And it's even in how we talk to each other and address each other, how we call each other, where you find that, you know, it's no longer in a loving way. Even how we speak to each other, it's no longer in a loving way. One of my friends was joking with me a while back and saying, oh, my wife now, you know. And but he was saying it jokingly, but it's so amazing how our relationships can shift to that place.
Exactly that.
We are just roommates or flatmates, or we are co-parenting, you know, and it's simply because of over familiarity. And sometimes, you know, not really asking the Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, help me to remain in awe of that which is around me. My wife, it would be easy for me to be over familiar with her and not to admire the small things that are there, you know. And obviously there's also the flip side, Sesibongi, where we also make it very difficult for our partners to stand in awe of us because of behavior and words that we speak, you know, and how we just come across. So one of the other ways, let's going back to familiarity, I'm glad I'm remembering this. It's also, Sesibongi, the issue of letting yourself go when you are married, you know. A lot of marriage therapists will speak on the subject to say it's important that when we are married, we don't let ourselves go. You try and make sure that you still remain attractive to your partner. There are qualities that attracted your partner to you, and you to your partner. And it's so amazing that when we get married, it's like we lose the urge and the urgency to present ourselves as something wonderful or awesome, you know, A-W-E-S-O-M-E. So we let ourselves go, and that's what freezes our marriages.
So you don't pay attention to your beauty anymore. You don't take baths like you used to and wear those awesome clothes and look good. Wow. I've heard husbands complaining that I leave you in the house wearing your PJs and your gowns, and I go to work the whole day, and then I come back to you. You didn't even touch yourself.
Yeah.
You're still in those PJs, and you're wearing my slippers, and...
But now,
let me ask you a certain question also, because that goes with that, with the example that I've made. Yeah. Now, let's say she did that, but the house is clean. Would that still be an issue to the husband? Or whether the house is clean or dirty, it doesn't matter. I'm more concerned about you that, you know, you would have your hair up there, you'd do an updo, that lipstick, that perfume. Now, dololo?
Sure, Sisibonge. I think the way I would say that is that your partner is married to you, not the house. Yes, the house should be clean.
Okay.
So the house should be clean, but you should also be clean. You know, I think it's something that then that has to be discussed in time as a couple to say, maybe I'm spending a lot of time. By the time you come back, I haven't been able to get myself ready because I've been working throughout the day. You know, that conversation is important. And then as a couple, then you have to work around that to say, can we get help maybe? Can we get somebody to help us maybe to offload so that I co-gray, you know, in that space because I'm married to you. So I often say this, Sisibonge, to say we need to, as couples, use our money to enhance the quality of our marriages and families.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you find us as couples really missing priorities. If, for example, the wife is constantly at work and is tired and is struggling, and yet we are happy with her, you know, embashile, not looking good, and we get angry at that as well, it's a problem. And yet we have a lot of money, and we are making all this money. It's in the bank account.
So what is it for?
What is it for? You know, yesterday I was talking to somebody and saying to them, look, Abraham had helpers in the house, helpers. So, you know, we are Abraham's children, and we need to learn from those kind of models to say, let's use our money effectively. I mean, if the wife is struggling or the husband is struggling, and by the time you come back, you can see that they were not lazing around. This person was really hardworking, but they're struggling to look good, and you have all this money. Why not find somebody that can help out at home so that your partner can also, by the time you come back, they smell great, they've bathed, they've done what needs to be done so that by the time you come back, you are in awe of them and they're in good shape as well, you know. So that is super important as well, to say, you know, as much as that is an issue, let's communicate as a couple to say, are you overwhelmed? You know, can we sort it out? Can we work on it so that we make sure that you are in good condition, just as I'm in good condition, so that our intimacy can grow and I don't come to a point where I think you are awful instead of awesome.
Sure. Now, how do we restore the spark back into a marriage that is now infiltrated by familiarity?
I think it's going back to what attracted me to this person and working through the conversation of saying, can we get that back?
Okay.
What got us together? Was it your smile? Was it us going out? What are the things that got me interested in you? Because that's often one of the things that causes the awfulness to come into the relationship, because now what attracted me to you is no longer there. And obviously beauty evolves. We do know that we age and we mature and so on. But think like a smile. Think like you look good, you dress good, you speak well. And by speaking well, I mean you use sweet words. You are able to kind of use your words effectively. Those are things that can be restored, says Sibongi. And I said this as well recently in one of the videos I did on TikTok, to say marriages should also be fun, says Sibongi. We need to look for ways on how can my relationship with my partner be fun. I mean, I was talking to somebody. In fact, I wrote this on social media, and somebody inboxed me and was so angry at me to say, what do you mean marriages must be fun? We are married.
Ha!
I'm telling you, you know. So it's like, okay, are you telling me that marriages must be fun for what? It's a covenant, you know. And I'm saying to myself, but the Bible actually says that Isaac was seen sporting with his wife. He had fun with his wife, you know. And when you look at the book of Song of Solomon, which is one that we skip, it's a book of affection, And you can see that they were actually having quite a bit of fun in that relationship. They enjoyed each other's company, you know, because they made an effort. And I think that's the other thing for Sibongi. How do we restore the spark?
Yeah.
Make the effort. Make the
be
effort.
Be intentional about it.
Be intentional and make the effort to say, if my partner doesn't like how I dress, how should I dress? You know, obviously in a moral way, of course, but how do I dress, and is it something that I can work so that I keep my partner's attention? And this goes both ways, men and women, you know. I often say this as well, Sibongi, that we give our best to the world, whether it's work or going for lunch with our friends. But when we come back home, you throw away the shoes, you know, throw away the socks. You come into the house and you give the rest of yourself to your partner. And yet this is somebody that you've covenanted to be with and to be one with them. And that is such a travesty. That is so sad that we give our rest to the person that we should keep interested in us, you know. So I often say to couples, don't be quick to take off that wig, you know, when you get home and
ladies,
take off the makeup,
brace yourselves.
take off the makeup and, you know, you get into your PJs as soon as possible. You know, both sides as a husband, the hygiene aspect as well, you know, to say, when you come back home, you've been sweating the whole day, hit the shower first, come back out, look a bit fresh, you know, because you want your partner to say, man, wow, you actually look quite good, you know. I am not the one that gets to see you coming back sweating and, you know, at your worst. I actually see a side of you that is quite amazing.
Even your best. I see you both, you know, at your best and also at your worst. But also try to keep the standard. I know it's not easy.
I'm so glad you used that word, Sibongi, to say, Let us not take each other for granted as couples. Let's make that effort to say, if you want me to, for example, there was a time, you know, when we were growing up, Sibongi, there was S-Kel, right? So one of the things that my wife used to like was my S-Kel.
Yes.
And so I'd go and do S-Kel and look really fresh. But it's so amazing that as time goes by, we get so desensitized to each other and overly familiar that we no longer make that effort. Not for the world, but for Muhatzaka, for my partner. Let me go and dress well for my partner, not for church or whatever, for my partner. And those are the efforts that we take so that we can show that I want you to keep your eyes on me. And I know that these are the things that you used to like. Obviously, now we are older, so my wife is like, no, it's fine. As Kelewa took oily, you know, gel and everything. So it's no longer like that much of an issue. But it's to keep each other updated. What keeps you interested in me?
So it means that couples should be talking about these things. I should be asking you, what makes you happy? You know, when I do, what is it that I do that makes you happy?
Yes. That actually nails it, Sibongi, to say the conversation is continuous. And the other thing is we are constantly growing and changing, and we need to accept that. You know, if you look at my photos when I was 20-something, I was tiny, small, S-Kel. You know, I've grown a bit larger. You know, I don't know if it's the anointing or what, but, you know, but it's growth. We've matured, we have grown. So that also means that even how I perceive things is a bit different. You know, there are certain things that my love language has changed as well over the years. And we assume that these things are static, and they are not. You know, our taste as well changes. So that constant conversation, what space are you at as my partner? What are the things that I can tweak to make sure that I keep this intimacy going, I keep the fire going, the passion and the fire in your eyes for me going. Imagine if, Sibongi, somebody in this age, you know, when we were growing up, there was this style called freeze, you know. If a lady goes and still does freeze now, it looks weird. because it's something that is outdated. And I believe that frozen marriages as well, it's like that, where somebody is stuck in a loop where you are, sometimes you are doing patterns that have nothing to do with the now. You know, the relationship should be evolving. Your partner has evolved and you have not evolved. And one of the things as well that is a problem, and maybe you didn't mention this, is the lack of personal development in a relationship. If me as the husband, you know, I as the husband am developing and growing and changing, and my partner is frozen like Lot's wife, it becomes such a problem.
Yeah.
Because the gap of development between us is really going to
bring a drift between the two of you. Yeah.
A serious rift between the two of us, and it crystallizes the marriage. It doesn't grow. It doesn't develop because, you know, the person is still speaking like 20, 30 years ago, and yet I have moved on and so on. That is why we need to be concerned as well about each other's personal development in relationships.
Wow.
To say, are we growing?
All right. Muruti, I'm going to ask you to just take a moment and sum up for our talk today, and then we pray for our couples. I thought that we would finish, but this is like really interesting. We are still learning. I know that there are four more points. Am I correct? Or is it three more points that are left
under
behind?
Yeah, I think under reasons why relationships freeze, there's only one. And then we will also continue. I think we've got about 6 points that we will go through where we will talk about how do we get this thing running again.
All righty then. Muruti, thank you so much. Let's just wrap it up for today so we can pray with our couples as well.
Okay, so today we really touched heavily on the issue of familiarity, and I pray really that our couples may make that effort today, you know, not to be in a space where they are overly familiar with each other, and take the effort, have that conversation with each other to say, let us talk through, where are you, how can I keep you interested in me, what changes can I bring within reason that can keep the spark going, that can keep the awesome in our relationship, that what fun things can we do as well that can help us to regain that connection between the two of us. So yeah, can we pray for
yes sir,
let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray for every couple that is sitting under the sound of our voices today. And I am praying today, O Father, that, Lord, you may restore the joy, restore, O Father, the wine in marriages. And, Father, I pray right now, O God, for couples that have reached that place of a crystallized, cold marriage, that, Lord, you may bring ideas, bring people that are going to help couples and bring the strength as well for the conversation that will help to get the marriage out into a better space. I'm praying for marriages that are struggling right now, that you may provide solutions and a way forward, oh Father. We know you can, we know you will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Muruti, for ministering unto the family today. Koli says, wow, I can't stop laughing about the wig. Spongile, my cousin takes it off as soon as she enters the gate and uses it to fan herself with it.
You know?
And she says, we really thank God for such teachings. Really, God wants us to be better in our marriages and never take our partners for granted. Muruti, for family members seeking to talk to you directly, how do they get hold of you?
Okay, I'm on social media as Mojalefa Daniel Maluka on Facebook, and I've now started videos on TikTok as well. Same names, and on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm also there. And on the phone, it's 072-259-4397.
Can you repeat that?
For the telephone, it's 072-259-4397. 0794397.
Wow, Muruti, thank you so much and have a blessed one. I think you should thank come back up Ilenyana so we can have a blessed one.
thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Pastor Mojalefa Daniel Maluka, and his numbers again for family members seeking to talk to him directly are 072-259-4397. 072-259-4397.
From your ear to your heart to your mouth to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.